You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. Another delicious Tim Hortons here in Buffalo.
Yes, I'm your host, Dangerous Dan, along with Alexander the Meh.
Meh. Oh, it used to be Al the Gravy, but I gave that up.
The Gravy.
Hey, by the news. By the news. Great news, by the way, is what I want to say. By the news. I've been looking for 2 hours on the computer, and I can't find people with clothes on. But besides that. Classic. That's going in the book.
Oh, my goodness, that is.
I forgot some great blunders, man.
That is such a good one.
I got great blunders. Now I forget what I was going to say.
By the news.
The news. Oh, yeah, the news. I'm 60. Can you tell? I am the lightest I've been in a long, long
time. Good for you.
I hit a mile mark. I hit a big
awesome.
Mile mark.
Awesome.
I'll tell you, I'm at 220.
Good for 220. You, man.
Yeah, I haven't seen 220 for a long time. 219, here I come. So, man, it's been a long
time. Good for
time.
You. Way to go, yeah. Man.
Whew, tell you. So if I can just keep it going, wow. It's
amen.
Tough. Okay, so I'm slim, I'm trim, and I'm
ready
to fight.
That's our new standards on Tim Talks.
Yep.
We're both wearing ties.
220. Yeah, that's right. Now here's something. If we were recording, say 5 years ago, we would not be dressed as we are dressed today, right?
Yeah, we would.
No. You'd have a suit on. I'd have a suit on.
No, not five years ago.
Six, seven?
Yeah, probably about 8 or 9.
Really?
Yeah. We have been using the polo shirts with the church name on it for quite a while now.
Yeah.
That is our quote unquote uniform.
Right.
You know, but in church ties. But after COVID on Wednesdays now. Because I'm dealing with the teens and stuff, I wear business casual on Wednesday nights because I'm not preaching.
Yes. Right. So your standards have really dropped.
They have.
If we'd go back 10 years ago, you would not be a good Baptist 10, 12 years ago. Not you'd be slipping.
I may not have been a good Baptist 10 or 12 years ago anyway.
Well, you've never been, but you're an excellent Pentecostal, but not such a good Baptist. But that I said on Monday, and it's true. I remember as a kid that I don't know if this was said, but it was kind of implied and often taken this way. If you didn't dress just a certain way, then you weren't either right with God, or you weren't spiritual, or you were rebellious because you didn't conform to the standard of the day.
So what made you think that way?
I just think because if you didn't wear or say or do what you were supposed to, somebody pulled you aside and said, "Hey, you're not right. You're supposed to be doing this. This is the standard. You got to abide by the standard." And it was pretty heavily, I wouldn't say policed, but it was pretty strongly enforced.
Was it ever mentioned from the pulpit?
Yeah. I would say yes.
Because that is where it starts.
Yeah, absolutely. The pastor sets the standard, right? So, mm-hmm. Yeah. And there wouldn't be messages on it, but there would be things in messages that would allude to or touch on some of those topics. And, you know, you kind of got the word. And then if you didn't get it from that, then there was somebody saying, hey, I need to talk to you. You need to change your hairstyle, or you need to change your dress, or you need to change your vocabulary or something like that. And that was, and you know, if you didn't do those things, then you kind of dropped in the ranks of righteousness.
Well, were some of those scriptural?
Well, I, you know, as a kid, I thought, well, my pastor is the pastor. My pastor's watching for my soul. My pastor wants mm-hmm. what's best for our church. Our pastor wants to protect from sin. And so for me, it was scriptural in that I was obeying those that had the rule over me. And I thought, if that's the standard they're setting, and I really didn't have any problem with that. I mean, I didn't always understand why. And there were times when I would want to buck at it. But I thought, you know what? It's for a couple hours on Sunday or a Wednesday. And, you know, some of it was Bible, some of it was, you know, a life issue of separation from sin and some of those things. So we did that every day, but most of it was just to serve in the church. And I thought, you know, just, I'm coming to serve the Lord. I want to give my best anyways. And so I was willing to abide by that standard. The one I balked as a kid was the hair. I was the only kid in my school that had short hair. And I felt so out of place. I would let my hair grow a little long, so it just went over the tops of my ears. Then when I went to church, I would comb it behind my ear so that I would fit in at church. But my pastor pulled me aside one Sunday and said, hey, you need a haircut. And I was like, yes, sir. And I went and got my haircut because my pastor told me.
So there was a biblical foundation for that. Now, he was letting you know the ears where we're going to make the call, you know. Mm-hmm. And so... but there's still a biblical foundation for that. You know, if a lady was wearing something that we would say is seductive and she's up on the platform singing, okay, there's a biblical foundation for women should be wearing modest apparel. And so, yeah, you can say, well, what's modest to me may not be to you, but there definitely is. Anyone who wants to be honest would understand that something, even though it's high enough or long enough, may be extra tight and it's just inappropriate, you know,
right,
in a church setting. So many of the things that we talk about, you know, and I don't want to just denigrate this into dress, because really the dress is really a small part of it. But
yes.
in most standards. But I'll tell you, I know two or three guys who have gone back to choir robes. Because
wow.
They say we don't have to deal with any of the nonsense up there.
Right.
You know,
right.
Now a special singer, you know, something, yes. But, you know, basically, you know, they don't have to deal with any of the, yeah, you know, the stuff with the choir because they're wearing choir robes. And, you know, the church sort of at first like, oh, but they sort of got used to it and sort of like the look, you know, the uniformity on the platform.
Yeah. And I, you know, we did some of those things too, like on our help program and in the SMITE program, we went to t-shirts or, you know, a collared shirt mm-hmm. for everybody to wear. And we were able to then kind of, you know, keep everybody unified, but at the same time modest. So we'd have a lady who would have a girl come in, she would try on one of the shirts to see, you know, if they fit, if they were modest. And then, you know, she'd say, okay, this is the size you need. And then they were supplied that shirt. Doing that kind of helped in doing
that.
So
then they could take the shirt and tie it at the waist and make it tighter again.
Yeah. 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 No. Yeah. That was the guys. The guys are doing that. But yeah, and it's always been a struggle as a pastor. I don't know a pastor that hasn't at some time had struggle with having standards, maintaining standards, not having them, maintaining them.
Yeah,
because,
so
again,
with,
whatever
with
you
teens,
set,
it's more of a training thing to me. It always has been training thing with teens that they need to learn. It's got to be a practical application of what you're trying to teach and what you're trying to learn. And so, as adults, hopefully, that it would not be as severe of a situation. It's something that you rarely mention, or would need to mention, or perhaps maybe the pastor's wife or the, you know, the you know, song leader's wife would have to talk to somebody maybe once every 4 or 5 years if they see a consistent issue, you know, where a lady can take care of those things. But with teens, it's like we're trying to teach them all. With volunteers, it's something that we sort of feel should be indicators to help people have confidence in your qualities of being in that position.
Right, right. And I would say today that a lot of churches struggle just to get people involved in some of those ministries. And that's where sometimes there is issue. The pastor might say, I want to have a strong standard, and I want this to be the dress, and I want this to be the conduct. But it's getting harder and harder to get people to get involved because we do have a society that I think bucks that kind of stuff now. I don't think people have the mentality that I had as a kid. It's not, that's my pastor, and he's trying to do what's best for the church. It's, who does he think he is? He's just the CEO of this corporation, and he's not going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. A teacher can't tell me what to do. The police can't tell me what to do. The border guard can't tell me what to do. We just do what we want. And so that's permeated even into Christianity somewhat. And so you have to deal with that attitude. The attitude ought to be one of submission and humility. If that's what you want me to do, it's not, as long as it's not ludicrous and it's not, you know, something absurd, then for the sake of unity, for the sake of worship, I'm willing to do it. And it's kind of when kids go to college. I told my kids when they went to college, you get 4 years, do what they tell you.
Yeah.
Just do what they tell you.
There's going to be a lot of things you don't like. You've read the handbook. A lot of times you got to read the rule book before you even show up if it's a Christian college.
Right. Just do it for the 4 years. And then when you get out, you make your own decision.
Yep.
But and a lot of kids struggle with that. They don't want to do that. And so that's where we're at in churches today. And I think as a pastor, I've got to ask, you're going to ask yourself, what hill do I want to die on? Do I, for the sake of not having anybody lead my music, say you have to wear a suit every Sunday and it has to be, you know, this shirt and this tie, or if a lady's going to sing, it has to be this exact length or whatever? Are you willing to die on that hill? And that's where personal standard and biblical standard, you know, separate. So I think there definitely has to be a line of what's biblically correct. I think you don't want someone who's an alcoholic leading the music in the church. You don't want somebody who's, you know, struggling with drug addiction leading music in the church. But at the same time, if that man doesn't own a suit, are you prepared to say he can wear a tie and that's okay? I think you just have to, you have to draw some of those lines.
Yeah. And at the same time, just the other side of the argument, what you settle for is what you're probably going to have continually. And
right.
So, you know, in my mind, I'm at the point of, depending on the position, to do it myself until there's somebody qualified. Obviously, you can't preach and do junior church at the same time. Of course, I do, because that's just me. We have junior church anytime I'm up there. But, you know, it's just the concept that, you know, are you going to wait and do it best? That I think, personally, the more you spend in training and teaching and explaining and making sure that you lay that foundation and you keep it strong, I think the better your church is going to be. You know, we can talk about the practicality of things. You know, I remember back in the day, whenever I was, like in elementary school and high school, it was a common thing to hear pastors ask other pastors, you know, usually a younger pastor, a newer pastor, hey, what do you do if everybody in your church smokes and you need an usher? And I remember Doc Thompson saying,
yep,
find the best smoker. You know, I mean,
right.
So, you know, the concept there is, you know, try to get the best that you can. And over the course of time, God helps people to grow and they get better and stronger people may move in, or somebody gets saved and they grow by leaps and bounds. And, you know, so, but you do what you can with what you have while you can still be building and looking to the future.
Yeah. Here's something, and because I've been to Brother Vassy's church many times, I love their church, great people. Here's an issue. Most of his people are from the Philippines, and they have a different dress standard in the Philippines, mm-hmm. and a lot of them bring that cultural dress
yeah.
to church. They wear a barong, and they're beautiful. They're beautiful shirts, and to them, that's a suit. If you wear a suit in the Philippines, which I did at 111,
yes,
12
degrees.
Yes,
that's rare, yes.
And, you know, 110% humidity. I mean, it's tough. I did it, but it's tough. I wouldn't want to do it. And so they're doing that. So that's what they grew up with. That's the culture they have, and that's their dress
but
uniform,
yeah,
as it
it's were. A dressy shirt.
Yeah.
It's a shirt that you would wear at a formal occasion.
Right, but it's not a tie, and it's not a suit
no,
jacket.
But that's our culture, you know?
Right.
Our culture is there. And so, you know, you definitely, it's wherever you are at that you're trying to get that culture. You know, I know a lot of people have wrestled with this, you know, in Christian schools with black teenage guys, you know, and not allowed to wear facial mm-hmm. hair. And their parents go, look,
right.
it's in our culture. You know, that,
right.
and so, you know, they had to sort of make those decisions, you know, of what they're going to do and what they're going to allow. You know, so that's why I'm saying, you know, this is where we are. If I was in Africa, no way. If I was in the Philippines, of course not. You know, so there are those situations that, you know, you're looking at your culture. You know, goodness, yeah. I preached in Africa where the culture was that no nurseries and moms would breastfeed right during church, you know, so,
right.
And that was not looked at as something that was wicked or vile, you know.
Right.
So according to the culture, of course, anything that's unscriptural, the Bible changes into a new creature. Therefore, we do things according to the Bible, no matter what the culture may say. And
right.
so that's the difference. But we're talking about things that are probably, I hate to even use the word, it's not extra scriptural, but, you know, application of scripture and not necessarily qualifications.
Right. I think the big question is, well, I've got to say this too. Do you force a culture upon a people? So those folks coming from Africa, the Philippines, they come, the ladies bring their long, beautiful, colorful dresses. Do we try to force our culture upon them and say, well, that's really not what our ladies wear. You need to wear something knee length and, you know, maybe not so vibrant. And guys, you really need to put the barongs away and put on a suit and tie because that's our culture. I would say that our societal shift is me too. It's about me. Look at me. It's about me. And I've got to be recognized and I have to be allowed to do what I want to do. And pastors are dealing with that. And that's a tough thing because we all have a different standard by either how we were raised or the country in which we were raised, the church we went to. We've got a lot of folks that come from other countries that didn't go to an independent Baptist church. They went to, you know, a nameless church, but they worshiped, you know, they worshiped. So you have to deal with that as well. Finding that balance can be tough. It can be tough. And you don't want to hurt people. You don't want to offend people. But sometimes you do have to say, listen, that part of your culture just does not blend with our worship. And if you can change that, it would be helpful.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that as long as it's not immodest. You know,
right.
I mean,
no, I agree.
You know, we've got quite a few people of Indian descent, and you know, sometimes on special days, you know, they'll wear something very beautiful, very special, but very traditionally Indian, you know, and so mm-hmm. There's nothing immodest about it, nothing wrong about it, you know, and I would think, you know, once somebody comes from a very warm climate into Canada or mm-hmm. northern mm-hmm. United States,
right.
that they would quickly learn, you know, that the very thin shirts, although it's very dressy, is not going to be as appropriate, you know, not going to help you as much. And so I would imagine most people, you know, do wind up getting suits and things. I would probably explain it to somebody and give them time, you know, and do the best mm-hmm. that you can. And that would right. be with anybody in the congregation as well that maybe it doesn't have the means at all to be able to purchase things. And so we'd say, hey, you know, well, you know, take your time and, you know, here's what we'd like eventually, but yeah. we certainly want you to be able to have the opportunity to serve the Lord. You know, somebody may be, you know, a smoker and they're dealing with, you know, trying to give it up for God. Well, amen. You know, as long as you promise me you're working at it, we're just going to, you know, you feel free to sing or, you know, be an usher, whatever it would be. I don't know if I would, want them as a Sunday school teacher with little children, you know, because they will quickly pick up, you know, on things that that people do. But yeah, the growing part, of course, that's just Christian kindness and really a joy of doing those things. So it isn't culture as much as you know trying to get into Bible, but we're talking about, you know, some kind of list of something you'd expect from volunteers. And so I would think it would be something like the way you behave outside of church, not the sinful practice. You ought to be a tither. You know, now every single person comes to church ought to be a tither. Every single member ought to be a tither. But whenever somebody now is a volunteer in a position, it ought to be expected that they're a tither, you know. So, you know, that's a situation, and it may have a dress situation, may not have a dress situation. I don't know. It all depends on, you know, what they're doing, and, you know, are they in front of a lot of people, things like that. So, you know, ushers, some people try to get more uniform looking, you know, all the way across the board down to matching jackets that hang in the closet for them, you know. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to leave it there. We're at 21 minutes. I'm going to ask you on Friday, number one, how do you determine the standard? I think we have to ask some questions. Why are we doing what we're doing? How is it going to impact? How does it add? Those kind of questions. And then also I'd like to ask maybe, you know, some things. I'll say, okay, so a guy's leading the music. What should he look like? What should he do? What should he participate in? Those kind of things. I'll ask you some of those questions, because Brother Vasi kind of points to that in his email a little bit. So we'll do that on Friday. Okay. All right. I'm Al Stone, and I'm still drinking great Tim Hortons coffee from Buffalo, and I'm going to get one more. I'm going to run down and get one more for Friday, and just bask in the glory of Buffalo. I'm just Al Stone.
Walk on top of the cars. Since you have feet of snow.
Feet of snow. You'll know by Friday. You'll know.
This is Dan Wolven of Columbus, Ohio. Thank you so much for your input. And please make sure that you give us a rating review and make sure you subscribe. Thank you so much.
This is Tim Talks. We'll be back on Friday, eh? Can't wait to be with you. Tune in to find out what you should be wearing when you watch Tim Talks. Have a great day, eh?
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.